At Sierra, discover top workout gear at incredible prices, which might lead to another discovery. Your headphones haven't been connected this whole time. Awkward. Discover top brands at unexpectedly low prices. Sierra, let's get moving.
When did making plans get this complicated? It's time to streamline with WhatsApp, the secure messaging app that brings the whole group together. Use polls to settle dinner plans, send event invites and pin messages so no one forgets mom's 60th, and never miss a meme or milestone, all protected with end-to-end encryption. It's time for WhatsApp. Message privately with everyone. Learn more at whatsapp.com.
Pro savings days are back at Lowe's. MyLowe's Pro Rewards members save even more with limited-time doorbuster deals. Save $5 on 24-count Contractor's Choice 42-gallon trash bags, now just $14.78. Plus, get your choice select DeWalt Elite Series saw blades for $9.98. Not a Pro Rewards member? Join for free today at Lowe's. Valid through 9/17. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. Checking off the boxes on your to-do list is a great feeling. And when it comes to checking off coverage, a State Farm agent can help you choose an option that's right for you. Whether you prefer talking in person, on the phone, or using the award-winning app, it's nice knowing you have help finding coverage that best fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Hi, this is Tony Ruggiero here on The Tour Coach. Thanks for joining in and thanks for following along. It is my mission to bring you some of the best instructors, the players, mental coaches, fitness experts, everything you need to play better golf, all of the people I find fascinating that can give you information to help you in your pursuit as a teacher or as a player. It's all here on Dew Sweeper TV or wherever it is you get your podcasts. Thanks for watching the Tour Coach podcast, and hopefully this helps you teach better, play better, and enjoy the game. All right, so joining me here, Masters Week, Thursday of Masters Week, one of my good friends, one of the great teachers in the game, somebody I'm fortunate enough to hang around, Kevin Kirk. Kevin, how you doing there, brother? I see you're in a car. I'm in the Atlanta airport. Wait, we're always going somewhere.
Yeah, I think we're on the move, Tony. That's kind of our – we're kind of these nomads that kind of just kind of wander around from place to place and try to make the world a better place. So yeah. I'm delighted to be with you, buddy. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Busy as usual, which is, you and I talked before this, it's a good thing. I'm going to be home the rest of Masters Week, which is nice. I always feel like if I didn't do a good enough job teaching this year to be there, at least I could go enjoy it because everybody's watching it. You know what I'm saying? Like, everybody's watching the Masters. So it's an exciting week. But I just thought, you know, I had you on last year, and I thought, you know, Wayne and I did one yesterday, and it was about – you know, what recreational golfers could learn from watching the Masters, which I think there's a lot people can learn from watching the best players in the world. You've had so much experience there and success with being with Patrick when he won and all of that goes with that. What are the – I think Augusta – and tell me if I'm wrong, but I think it's different than a lot of the other major golf courses. That's to me why you see a lot of the same people that have success there. And so I think it requires certain skill sets. What from your experience, what are the skill sets, or what is it that when you look at the field and the people playing there at the Masters, what are the skill sets that you see that make players play well there?
Well, I think you're right, Tony. I think, you know, look at the people that play well there. They seem like they repeatedly play well. So once somebody figures the course out, it's like they're able to continue doing it and repeat that. So that leads me to kind of believe that there's probably a little riddle about that golf course that needs to be, you need to understand what the course is asking you to do. And I think if you can take the time and slow down, not get caught up in all the circumstance and all the kind of the drama around the event, and slow down and try to understand the golf course, I think, is pretty specific what it wants you to do. Mm-hmm. I think it's pretty liberal off the tee. It gives you some room to roam a little bit. It's not super demanding off the tee. But it's definitely a second shot golf course where you have to pay very close attention to your second shots and control not only the distance, but flights, curves, trajectories, spins. And so the golf course has pockets, the greens have pockets that you have to kind of play into. So I think, you know, understanding how the you know, how the greens receive shots is really, really important. And then I think chipping the golf ball around that golf course is super important. I think it's understated, or people don't talk about it a lot, but I do think that chipping the ball on that golf course, you have to be a great chipper of the golf ball. I think everybody can see the putting stuff is, you know, you see putts there that you see no other place in the world. But these guys can kind of handle that type of, you know, they're the best players in the world. They can handle the creativity, most of them, to putt well there. But I do think that, you know, the second shots and the chipping around that place seem like they carry a lot of weight. And then taking time to understand the golf course. I mean, there's a bunch of people that have had, you know, access to Carl Jackson, and he obviously has been around the place enough. And there was a lot of winners that have been associated with him, either directly or indirectly. When Patrick won that year, we went in there and turned the place upside down to try to understand it. And I think we did a pretty good job of decoding it. And I think, you know, so, you know, Patrick will probably continue to kind of play well there because he understands the demands of the course. So, to your point, it does require some study. It requires really good kind of second shots and probably really good chipping.
And I think, you know, obviously Patrick's one of the best chippers around, obviously one of the keys to it. And I said that somebody was talking to me earlier. I said, I really believe that people don't focus enough on how good a chipper you have to be. I'm trying to think of a person who would be a substandard chipper that's won there. And I really can't think of one. Can you?
No, I would agree with that. I think it's one of the things that the golf course demands, because if you miss a green, you have to have not only the touch, the precision to hit the shots, but the creativity to imagine, you know, a shot, you know, based on the slopes and how, you know, because a lot of times the direct route to the hole is not a straight line. I mean, going back to the shot, the Tiger hole from behind the green at 16 that year, you know, playing it up on that slope. There's a lot of that type of stuff that has to happen out there. So you have to understand the fall lines probably for those putts. And then try to kind of figure out how to move the ball onto the fall line. And then, you know, I mean, you can't really look at the target. You just got to figure out how to get the ball on those fall lines, let the ball fall towards the hole.
You know, and another thing, you talked about turning the golf course upside down and kind of trying to find and decode it. What are the things that you do or that you did that helped you guys crack that code? And I love what you said about like chippers and you know, I started thinking like, you know, the guys I've had that have played well there, like Smiley didn't obviously play re well in the last round and let it get away from him. But, you know, we did a lot of recon before that of week. He went multiple times and he's a great chipper, right? You know, I thought that was a real key there. He was a great chipper of the golf ball, and he's always been very good at trying to figure out where to leave the golf ball. And I thought Andy, when he played there as an amateur, even though he was an amateur and he played with Tiger, made the cut, played good on the weekend, because he's really good at figuring out where to leave the golf ball if he's in the right spot. And then I go back to looking at a few years ago, and I think it was the COVID year, when Bryson made the comment, you know, he was hitting it so long, but he made the comment about it being par 68, right? That you can't just overpower that golf course, because it is such a second shot in where you leave it. So bombing at 380 obviously gives you some advantages, but the ability to control your irons is such a big, big part.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think, you know, there's also different kind of positions in the fairway you have to play for different pins. I mean, I think number three is a good example of that. Or just depending on where the pin is, you have to think your way through. You almost have to play the hole backwards from, okay, where's the pin today? And where do I want to put the ball in the fairway to give myself a chance to get to that pin? Because you know, it's not always just hit the golf ball as close to the green as possible. You really have to kind of think your way through it. And then also you have to consider kind of the different wind directions. I looked at the wind map this week, and it looks like they're going to play with the wind all the way around the clock this week. So they're going to have, you know, that each one of those holes has a different way it needs to be played, considering the pin and the wind direction. So it requires a fair amount of thought, and almost like building a matrix for it, where it's like, okay, on this pin, this is the tee shot, and then okay, what's the wind going to do, and how do I get the ball into that position off the tee, so that I have the best chance with my second shot to be able to approach it in the right manner.
There's a reason Chevy trucks are known for their dependability, because they show up no matter the weather, push forward no matter the terrain, and deliver. That's why Chevrolet has earned more dependability awards for trucks than any other brand in 2025, according to J.D. Power. Because in every Chevy truck, like every Chevy driver, dependability comes standard. Visit Chevy.com to learn more. Chevrolet received the highest total number of awards among all the trucks in the J.D. Power 2025 U.S. Vehicle Dependability Study. Awards based on 2022 models. Newer models may be shown. Visit jdpower.com/awards for more details. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive.
The Jack Welch Management Institute at Strayer University helps you go from, I know the way, to I've arrived with our top 10 ranked online MBA. Gain skills you can learn today and apply tomorrow. Get ready to go from make it happen to made it happen and keep striving. Visit strayer.edu/Jack Welch MBA to learn more. Strayer University is certified to operate in Virginia by Chev and has many campuses, including at 2121 15th Street North in Arlington, Virginia.
As a scientist, I can tell you that Sundays are only 24 hours long. But with NFL Sunday Ticket and YouTube TV, you get every game every Sunday all in one place. That's upwards of 30 hours of NFL in one day. How can there be 30 hours in 24 hours, you ask? I have a theory. Magic. New users get NFL Sunday Ticket for 8 payments of $34.50 per month. Sign up at NFLSundayTicket.com. Local and national games on YouTube TV. NFL Sunday Ticket for out-of-market games excludes digital-only games and commercial use. Terms and embargoes apply. Availability varies.
This episode is brought to you by ESPN. Catch the first WWE Premium live event on ESPN, WrestlePalooza, live on Saturday, September 20th at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. It's going to be an epic night in Indianapolis, featuring some of the biggest WWE superstars. This event is only on ESPN, so go to stream.espn.com and sign up to the ESPN app today for your all-access pass to WrestlePalooza and all WWE Premium live events.
I also think it requires a lot of patience, and I think you know, obviously you and Patrick, like, I think it requires the mental toughness to, like you said, know where the wind is, know where you got to put it, and to stick to that plan and not let the emotions make you get off track, right? Like, if your plan is to not hit driver on three and you've bogeyed one and two, you don't change just because you can drive it up there if it's not the right pin and the right wind. Right. I mean, I think that's like a huge part of the weekend and why some of the folks that have won because they're very patient.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right, Tony. Just having an idea about how you're going to move, having studied the golf course well enough to understand, okay, with this position, with this pin position, this is the way I have to kind of play it off the tee to give myself the best opportunity to you know, get the ball in a position to be able to generate a score. The other thing about that's understated about that golf course, and you probably don't really appreciate it until you're out there, Sunday afternoon on the back nine is very noisy. Those roars are unnerving. And I don't get jumpy or nervous very often. Watched a lot of guys win tournaments that I've kind of been out there with. But, you know, on the back nine on Sunday, the amount of noise that gets generated around the golf course is unnerving. And the reason it's unnerving is because you don't really know what's going on. Nobody's got a cell phone. There's only a few scoreboards. So all of a sudden something happens and you don't really know what's happened. You know, you can kind of, you know, based on the magnitude of the roar and kind of roughly the part of the golf course, you can start trying to, you know, imagine, but your brain starts kind of working a little bit overtime just based on all that noise and all the, you know, what it could potentially mean. So you have to be able to just kind of stay in the present, keep plugging along, playing your shots. When you get to a scoreboard, you know, it's probably a good idea to kind of take a look up there and figure out what's going on, because you probably won't see another scoreboard for a couple, two or three holes. And so it's, you know, it records definitely a kind of a chess game on the back nine on Sunday. And like I said, the amount of noise that gets generated out there is unnerving. I've never experienced anything quite like it.
Yeah, I remember that too from the year with Smiley. And obviously he kind of on Saturday, I remember as he shot the low round of the day, the roars through that back nine of stuff going on was crazy. I'd never heard anything like it. Very unnerving. And then on Sunday, being on the other side, watching Spieth kind of not play well and it get away from him. And then, you know, the roars coming from the other players going down there through the aiming corner where, like, you knew somebody was doing something.
Yeah, but since there's no scoreboards or phone, you don't know exactly who it is. So it's so if you, so if you're in contention and you hear something down in, like say 16 green or 15 green or back in that corner or down at 12, or you start hearing noises kind of going on 13, you start hearing these noises going on back there. There's no scoreboard to help you discern what's happening. So it creates, it's kind of an interesting kind of a playground for your mind, that you have to really kind of pay attention to being able to acknowledge it, hear it, and then just continue to kind of plod along and do your thing.
As you look at the field this year, Justin Parsons and I did this the other night too. Since neither of us have a player in the field, who are you looking at that's been playing well? You say, if you were looking at four or five guys that people should pay attention to, who are you looking at?
Yeah, I think you look at guys like Scottie Scheffler's obviously going to be kind of an obvious pick. Rory's been on a kind of a nice string of play, and it seems like he's been able to onboard some things this year about his golf game that he probably needed to address relative to his wedge game, his mental game, and some of the decision making that he's onboarded. So, he seems like he's in good form. John Rahm around that place is always going to be a factor. Just in terms of he's kind of a really fun time of his life in terms of his career. I would say, those would be my top three picks. There's the next level of picks. I mean, there's obviously a bunch of really great players, but those guys have been in good form, all those guys know their way around that place. So.
I said the other day to two people that I think you get that, if it was a regular tour event, these two guys obviously wouldn't be in the tour event because of the current state of golf. But you have to look at is like the way Sergio is playing, and he always plays good there, right? And great chipper of the golf ball and a great use of imagination. And then the other one, I've watched him a bunch because of Andy, but Phil, I mean, he finished second a couple of years ago over 50. He hits it far enough there. And there's very few people that, one, he has the confidence for sure. We know that. And he understands the whole patience and how to play that golf course. If I was picking top 10 people, then it's a smaller field. You have to look at those two guys.
Yeah, I agree. I think Sergio's. I've watched him play a fair amount the last couple of years, and it's incredible how good he hits it day to day. I mean, the guy is just a flusher. I mean, he hits it so solid. And so yeah, and he's been a nice kind of run of play over the last probably 12 months. And I like both those picks. I mean, I think that some past champions there. I mean, Patrick could kind of sneak up and kind of jump back in that mix. He's been
No,
playing
I
well
agree.
over the last probably couple months. Seemed to be in good form, having some nice finishes around the world. So, Bryson, is could be a factor at that place. So, it's gonna be, it's gonna. I love it when all the best players in the world get a chance to get together. That particular theater, that particular venue, it really is. There's so much history there, to create for the backdrop that they. This theater, this kind of this stage that they play on. So I'm super excited. It looks like they're gonna have a great week of weather. Last couple of years, I think last year the wind blew really hard, so it kind of messes them, kind of changes the complexity of the tournament. But this year it looks like they've got some great weather. It's gonna be dry, which is gonna be great. So it allows them to kind of get that golf course right to the edge, starts playing a little fast and spicy. And when the golf course gets wet, it loses a little bit of its defense, but it should be it's shaping up to be a really good tournament, and I'm looking forward to watching them have a go. So.
And that's the thing, I think, when you get the good weather there, it allows them to control the golf course
Correct.
and dictate it, and they can change it from day to day
Yep.
how they want, which they're the masters of doing that. And so, Kev, awesome stuff. Always love having you sit in with me and hang out. We got to do this more, talk some golf swings and stuff. But appreciate you sitting in. Enjoy the rest of the week, and we'll hang out soon, buddy.